Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Oi, Billy! Oscar! Dave! Get up! Francine Marie Show's on!
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Did you realize there's an estimated 2 million people in North Carolina with a criminal record? The Center for Community Transitions provides employment and transition services, supports alternatives to incarceration, and restores and strengthens family bonds. That sounds so sweet, doesn't it? And it is. Guess who's here? It's her exit interview. It's Myra Clark. She was the executive director for 22 years for the Center for Community Transitions.
Good morning. How are you?
22 years.
22 years as executive director, 32 years with the agency, working with people with records and their families.
So you know some babies who had some babies.
I kind of do, yeah.
What made you get into this business? So I like your tagline, build people, not prisons.
Exactly. If we can build people and if we can help people grow up to be safe and get an education and those kinds of things, we're not going to need prisons.
We're not.
We're not.
But how profitable would people be if we could let go of prisons, right?
Well, I think we can find other things to be involved in. You know, we might have more people in the arts and we might have more people, you know, doing other things. We just need to help them find their right niche.
Find their niche.
Yes.
Yes, I like it. And you have three programs, LifeWorks, Families Doing Time, and Center for Women's Programs.
Yes. Started at the Center for Women. And that was really my favorite because I had worked with women's groups and being a feminist myself, that was always important. And I was really interested in helping women find themselves and find their power and those kinds of things. So for 10 years, I ran the Center for Women. I will tell you that before I came to CCT or what was then ECHO, it had a different name and we changed the name, but I had done a lot of different jobs, but I'd never worked a job more than 2 years. So I had done sales and I ran a beer and wine store and did payroll and inventory. I had worked at a residential program. I had done accounting. I just had done a lot of stuff. And I had no idea that all of that was training for running a residential program for women or for even running a nonprofit organization. But I knew that when I came to CCT, I realized not long after being there that I was in the place I was supposed to be in. Because we took some of the women in the first year I was there to a women's conference. And it was run by Woman Reach, which is an organization that was here many, many years ago and is not here any longer. But they used to have conferences to lift women up and, you know, do interviews with women who were in television or radio or a variety of jobs just to show that there were lots of more opportunities out there. And there were a lot of affirmations that day. And so the women that I took, I collected all those things. So we get back to the facility and it got really quiet. And I'm thinking, okay, I usually hear people wandering around, you know, like parents with children. They get quiet. You got to go see what's going on. So I got up and went into the living room and all the women had gathered and were taking turns reading all those sheets of affirmations for each other and supporting each other and giving each other positive feedback and that kind of stuff. I went back in the office and that's when I realized I was where I was supposed to be, that this was where I was supposed to be. But do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. And that's what it's felt like working for this organization.
And having that connection with the Center for Women's Programs, did you ever like dip your toe back in or peek back in to just check on them?
Well, I do that all the time because my office is now located where the women's facility is. So I see them and they call me up and, you know, people will still call me up from back then, check in. And I got a call one time, I don't remember what was in the news or in the newspaper, but I got a phone call and the person on the phone was hysterically crying. I couldn't figure out what they were saying, but I could barely figure out the phone number. So when I called them, this was probably 5 years after I was at the women's facility. And it was a woman who had been at the women's facility. And she called and said, "Oh my gosh, you're still there. I know I was crying when I called you. I was so excited that you were still there and doing this." And she says, "You know, I've got 3 grandchildren now and I'm in my children's lives and I'm doing good. I have a job. I just wanted you to know that, but I'm just so happy to hear that you're still there and still doing it." So that was kind of like, okay. Yeah. But her calling hysterically was like, "Oh my gosh." So you never know what effect you may have on people's lives. And sometimes you want to see that result right away. But when you work with people, sometimes you just plant the seed and you have to be okay to walk on and let them walk on. And you never know when they're going to come back to it.
It's just like parents, right? We want to tell our kids what to do and how to do it. And
You just have to hope that what you shared with them was enough, you know, or that it sparked enough of something to be a positive part of their lives.
What did you see when you were working with the women and the men that changed their lives around? Sometimes it's just someone believing in you that can turn your life around.
I agree. Sometimes it's the thing that excites me the most for many of our clients is when I see that glimmer of hope, or especially when at our LifeWorks program, we have classes. And so I get so excited when I sit in those classes. And the way we teach it, you can see light bulbs going off over people's heads as they learn to reframe information that they used to know. And you can see that they've put it in a different perspective. And the light bulb goes off and say, "You know, there's more than one way to look at this," or "I hadn't thought of it that way." And that's just so exciting to see that happen.
Well, you know, you're my favorite, and Patrice is going to be my favorite, who is, you're mentoring her, you're filling her head with everything that's in your head. How do you do that data dump?
I don't know. Well, right now we're sitting in the same office together because there's an awful lot of stuff. I have said to a couple of people, I have a lot of stuff to download out of my head to help her see the complete picture of everything our organization does. So,
and it's a lot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the 32 years you were there, I would imagine that CCT was operating before then, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. CCT's been an organization in this community since 1974. We were originally ECHO Incorporated, and then we changed our name in 2007 to the Center for Community Transitions.
Yeah. Makes more sense, right?
Well,
yeah.
It does, because back then we only helped people who had a record coming out of prison. And ECHO stood for Energy Committed to Offenders. But then we grew into providing services to families. That's what Families Doing Time is. And so we provide services to children of incarcerated parents. We're in the schools. We do support groups for children of incarcerated parents. Part of that, those support groups, is to teach coping skills and some behavior modification and some things like that. Because we've asked children to carry grown-up problems when they have a parent who goes to prison or they're separated from somebody they love. And we ask them to go to school and learn. And if we don't help them figure out how to cope with that and what their interaction with people needs to be or can be, not needs to be, that sounds too judgmental, but can be, then we can't leave them to figure that out on their own because children don't have the coping skills or the experience that we do as adults, I would hope, to be able to figure those things out. So we have seen children who were disciplinary problems in the classroom become not disciplinary problems in the classroom because we've helped them figure that out and we've helped their caregiver help them. It really is a good program to help interrupt that intergenerational cycle of criminal justice involvement. We'd like to do a lot of prevention, but we also have those who were here already who've been harmed or hurt growing up or didn't get what they needed growing up. And we need to help them become the best adult they can be. We just have to attack this from all angles here. Well, in this support group, we have staff who were trained to go through our curriculum and help them identify safe people to talk to and learn the difference between secrets and private information, because those are very different things. We go through all of that. But the other thing that we're doing with children is we're exposing them to community art and cultural events and activities. And so we have monthly dinner meetings where we have somebody come in and do something. So storytelling or learning financial literacy at their age and things like that. And then we also have trips that we make 4 times a year to take them to the Children's Theater or Imagineon or
right.
places that they often, the children that we serve often don't have access to.
If you're just now tuning in, that is our new best friend. It's Myra Clark. She is our executive director, or shall I say, she's retiring as our executive director with CCT, Center for Community Transitions. Patrice is going to be taking her place. And I dare you, Myra, just to kick your heels up and do nothing.
But I might do that for a little while.
Just to see what does that
feel
like?
Yeah, I might take a couple of weeks or, you know.
Yeah.
Just a month to just wander around and figure out what I'm doing and
right.
sleep late maybe.
Ooh.
Yeah, that might be nice. Yeah.
So this will be the next chapter because you've had many chapters because you were the former Liberty Bell winner for the Mecklenburg County Bar for your community service.
Yeah, that was a real honor in 2013 given that award by the Mecklenburg County Bar. So it's for folks who are not attorneys who contribute to the community and justice. So that was a real honor to receive that.
Also served on Governor Perdue's Street Safe Task Force and was honored with that leading opportunity.
Leading opportunity listed 30 champions in Charlotte. That was also an honor to be selected for that.
You like your freedom because you can speak it and then you can speak on behalf of others.
Yeah.
If somebody wanted to help, you know, they're trying to figure out what they want to do in life.
Okay.
Their next chapter. Would you say this line of work, helping people who have been incarcerated, kids who have families doing time, would be a good volunteer opportunity at first and then maybe just to get their feet wet and then help out? I mean, just to be a volunteer at your auction.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's a great way to dip your toe in and see if it fits for you. I'll say that I was a volunteer with the organization before I came to work there. I worked with a man named Dennis Schrantz, who was one of the executive directors of ECHO. We worked at the Relatives together. And so when he went and became the executive director of ECHO at the time, I used to do volunteer work for them. And then later on, some of my volunteer work was taking children to Raleigh to visit their mothers because there weren't a lot of opportunities for that. Because there was only like 2 prisons in North Carolina for women, and they were far away from Charlotte. So I did a lot of volunteer work through my church and then volunteer work with ECHO early on. So for anybody who's interested in that, you know, volunteer somewhere. It might end up being where your bliss is, and you might have found a home.
Were your parents attorneys? Were your parents in this world? Were your aunties?
No, my mother was a stay-at-home mom. I mean, there were 5 of us, so she didn't have much choice. We were pretty close in age, so she was a stay-at-home mom till we all ended up got into school. You know, my mother went to church regularly, and my mother did things through the church, and we went to church. And so that was instilled in me at an early age about taking care of other people.
It's Myra Clark. She has been the executive director for the Center for Community Transitions for the past 22 years, but she's worked for the company when it was under another name for 32 years. So altogether, 32 years you have been in running the streets and probably up to Raleigh.
32 years ago was in the 80s, early 90s, and nobody was thinking about helping people with records, hardly. Nobody. And really, it didn't hit people's radar until George Bush gave his first, or it might have been his second, address to Congress. And when he did that, he said something about second chance opportunities for people who have been incarcerated. And after that, it just seemed that a lot of people started looking. at helping people with records. Now, there were always people who were doing it, but they were grassroots, you know, churches would have individuals that would do it or that kind of thing. There were small groups that might do it. But and then from George Bush to President Obama to even Donald Trump now has signed legislation to help people with second chances. So it has become a much broader topic for discussion and acceptance in discussion. And part of that, I think, is, you know, in the 90s, we put a lot of people in prison. And we have put a lot of people in prison since then. There are less people who now who, let's see the best way to say this. Let me say there are more people now who know someone who's been incarcerated. And when you know someone who's been incarcerated and you hear their story, you just can't help but be affected mm-hmm. by that. And not only what being incarcerated meant to them, but how difficult it is to return to your community after being incarcerated, how difficult it is to find employment, how difficult it is to find a job, mm-hmm. how difficult it is just to
exist.
Exactly.
It's hard to survive out here. You can't find a job because you've got a record. You can't find any place to live. You probably have some, if you went in and you had a kid, you weren't paying child support, you got bills, and then they have medical bills.
Yep. I mean, it used to be a big cycle. Now that it's more of a topic and people are understanding that just because you were incarcerated doesn't mean you don't have any value to the community anymore. When I gave talks, I used to ask people, what do Malcolm X, Charles Dutton, Tim Allen, what do those folks have in common? They all were in prison. And we only know them for what they did after they got out. We only know them for what they did after they came out of prison. The way they used their talent, as in Malcolm X, how he just, I mean, he became so spiritual and faithful, you know, and we know how that was, and his work in the civil rights movement and those kinds of things. And there's a lot of people out there that we only know for what they do mm-hmm. after they come out.
Right.
But everybody should have an opportunity to rebuild themselves and be a part of their family and the community the way they want to be. Because, as they say, nobody grew up saying, man, when I grow up, I want to be a prisoner. Nobody said that. They had other dreams. It's nice to be able to help some of those people reach their dreams. They're ready to do that.
Expunging records.
Yeah.
Take some money and some work. But there's some organizations out here, nonprofits, who will help you expunge your record.
Yeah. What's nice is that the things that you can expunge, because it was very limited, and now through the advocacy work that's being done for the Center for Justice, the North Carolina Center for Justice in Raleigh, there's a lot more things that can be expunged. And just recently, there were, I think it was about 700 jobs that required licenses to get approved. And there's been some work to get that kind of thing removed or eliminated. So people who have a record in their past, they can get a job and become, you know, a licensed contractor, or they can get a license to be an electrician and those kinds of things, and work for, you know, a company or start their own business or do those kinds of things. Because if you won't give me a chance, I'm going to create my own. And I think that's awesome.
I can keep you here all morning. Patrice is going to take your place.
Yes, Patrice is going to take my place. Patrice Funderburg. Y'all will find out more about her when she comes and sits with Francine.
And you like
soon.
Her.
And I like her a lot. I am very happy and feel very comfortable that this is the time that I can retire, because there's someone going to take over the agency who has the skills and the passion for the work that I feel like has led me for 32 years.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to swear she's going to be there 32 years, but I do think she has a passion for the work. She's going to make more positive changes in the community. And I'll say she's probably got more energy for that than I do right now, too. So
the Center for Community Transitions We can look them up online.
Yeah.
And we can connect with you on LinkedIn. Will you still have your LinkedIn when you retire?
Probably will. Yeah, okay. I need to keep up with everybody.
Are you on Facebook and all that good
stuff?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll connect with you.
All right.
Thank you for doing what you did, what you're going to do, and for being who you are.
Well, it's been my pleasure for all these years to do this work and to meet all the wonderful people that I've met and to hear how their lives have changed. They did the work. I didn't do it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go online now and check them out. CenterForCommunityTransitions.org. I'm your hostess of the mostest, Francine Marie. We end today with a quote, and that is, your mentality is your reality. I'll see you back here next weekend, same time, same station. Until we meet, darling, I want you to have a good week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us for the Francine Marie Show, where we address issues concerning you and your family.
That's all for now. See you next week.
Pop, it's showtime. 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 Guess who's back again? Oh, they don't know. Downtown. Oh, they don't know. Downtown. I bet they know as soon as we walk in. Show up. I'm wearing Cuban links. Yeah. Designer mix. Yeah. Inglewood's finest shoes. Whoop, whoop. Don't look too hard. Might hurt yourself. Known to get the color red, the blue.
Please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing, the Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.